Hello everyone and welcome to the episode 13 of the Debug Log. In today's episode, we talk about one of my favorite topics, mobile game development. We mentioned some of the main challenges developers face when making games for mobile platforms. Challenges like game performance, which is a big issue if you're running a game in a smartphone. But rather than talking about the problems, we talk about the solutions, because this episode is full of optimizations that you can use in your games to make them run faster and look better. We also share a tip that can make your game go viral. Yes, viral. If you want to know what it is, keep listening to the Debug Log episode 13.
You know, like Ninja Jesus.
Testing, testing.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, we all do the exact same thing. Laughing.
Yes, you like to talk to me.
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Para.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And I'm Eduardo Castillo Fernandez.
Well, tonight's going to be a fun episode. It's going to be all about mobile game development. This is a bigger topic. We know, again, this is only our 12th episode. We're kind of hitting on some of the, you know, grand survey of topics at first, and we're going to dive in. But just in general, we thought a discussion about mobile game development would be useful to you guys. Just the, you know, the general pitfalls, the pros and cons of going to that platform, the stuff you're going to have to deal with, and the stuff you have to deal with within the sub-platforms, like iOS, Android, all that stuff. So, and Eduardo was the person who brought this topic to our attention, because he is in progress right now, as the only person who has a mobile game in progress. Right, Eduardo?
We're not the only person.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, is the Hangman that we talked about in previous episodes, and we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it will make it and will be the next Angry Birds. I hope.
Yeah, we all hope. That'd be great.
Yeah, but I need a sugar daddy.
Yes, like Andrew said, mobile games are my favorite type of games. I know VR games are awesome, console games, but I prefer mobile game development.
Interesting.
So this is the topic of the episode, and like Andrew said, we're going to talk about the main challenges in mobile platforms, and we will give you our solutions to this type of problems, and a hint that has been the key to success to several games, and that will be right at the end. But first, let's go with the main problems that everybody faces when developing for mobile games. What do you think?
Well, actually, I got a quick aside. Yep. I'm actually talking to one of my friends just today, actually, and he was texting me, like, about a mobile app that he wants to create for his startup that he's doing. We're supposed to meet to talk about, like, how to get started with mobile development and, like, the things that he's just consider, like, even before he gets, you know, a developer, an artist, or designer to, you know, map out his mobile app. Like, what are the key considerations to even, like, thinking about mobile apps? Like, what would you consider? Or what are the things you should consider?
For me, what I have in mind is I want to make a game that is offers a short gameplay, something to for entertainment, but in a short amount of time. It's not like you're going to invest hours playing the game. No, it's something that you can play while you're waiting in a line, or you're waiting in your car for someone. No, something that offers that kind of gameplay.
That's kind of like what we talked about before, like VR. I mean, some of those things, like, if you're going to make a VR game, it better be designed for VR.
Yeah. Tailor it to the platform. Not the platform, but the
medium,
design, I guess.
Or yeah.
Yeah, the medium, yeah.
And with mobile, that hits on different aspects of it, too, because, I mean, different types of things work on mobile. I mean, little Twitch, you know, action things work really well, like Temple Run or something. You have you know, much more complicated turn-based things like XCOM and Civ on there that actually work really well because you can just make your turn and shut it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and also like the way you interact with those applications. You brought up XCOM. I was surprised how well that translated. But I mean, you think about it, it's pretty natural. It's like, oh, I'm just right. clicking on a guy and then clicking on a square. So that translates to touch gestures really well.
Mm-hmm. And then also the cool thing, I mean, one of the big... benefits are a cool thing you could do with mobile games is that you can bring in, it's really much easier to bring in multiplayer into that, you know, because people have their phones with them and they're connected. It's much more of a connected experience. And I mean, we've had experience with Xbox Live or whatever, PSN all the time. Yeah. Those networks are never reliable. But I mean, you have your phone, pretty much those networks are pretty reliable and you can connect to somebody in a game pretty easily. So there's a lot of cool, you know, not just multiplayer, but also location-based stuff. All those things are benefits and things you can think about when you're designing a game specifically for mobile.
Yes. Yeah, challenges between friends in Facebook friends or in the game center if you're in iOS or Google Play services if you're an Android. So all type of things that you can do to generate competition with friends.
Yeah.
And mobile has that advantage that everybody has a smartphone with them all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, I was just saying that you were talking about challenges. I remember we were just talking at work with Alan, who's actually we interviewed on the show. And
he was, an interview coming up.
So we were talking about how Facebook has that leaderboard API that you can actually implement into your mobile app and, you know, easily, you know, control and manipulate a leaderboard using those people that are playing your games, you know, on the fly really easily and integrate it into Facebook. So that's a way to make it really social and integrate that into your app. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a vague and general like description of some of the, they're not challenges, just stuff like, oh, these are cool things to think about when I'm making a game. I'm not going to port, like, for instance, like, Eduardo loves the fighting games, but those fighting games don't work exactly like they do on a console version. They're much more simplified, right? And they have, the controls are streamlined, so they actually fit with, you have one finger instead of all your digits controlling, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have to have in mind that it's a different device. The input is different. You don't have all those buttons. I mean, you can put them in the screen, but then what screen are you going to have to view your characters?
Yeah.
So you have to design.
Are in the way.
You have to design the game for tabs and slides, and limit the number of movements.
That is the weird thing when you start doing some of those things and laying out buttons and mobile stuff, because you're like, you never do that with your TV. It's like, well, my hands are going to be in the way here, so I can't actually see like that. It's like you do have to think about that. You know, my thumbs are so much bigger, you know, on the screen. So
no, we actually. At my office, we're developing a mobile game right now, and that you're talking about, that thumb positioning has come up. Also, button placement, some of the abilities, we've tested out multiple UI configurations just because it's like, you know, what's comfortable? Where's your hand? How long does it take to, you know, maybe bring up a UI? Or how far does somebody with maybe small hands and a big phone have to reach to press something, you know? It's like all those are definitely considerations.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We'll just roll in this. That could be our first actual official problem. And the problem is that control. Like, you can't control it, like, unless you have some kind of controller peripheral, which are few and far between that people have that. Having controls, if you want to, the more complicated you want to get with your game, it's harder because, yeah, not only that are you taking up the screen, but you don't also, when you have a console controller or keyboard, you can feel that. You know what the buttons are. You know where your hand is. But you lose track of where your hand is. So if you have more than one or two buttons, you know, like on the right side or left side, you right. really, you can't tell. I know when some of those games started using the directional, like little, like twin stick shooters type games on mobile, when they first started, they would have like a static thumbsticks. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of them, but it's hard because you would kind of, you would track off of it. And you know, lose track where it was, and then you'd be off of it and you'd be still. But now they actually, most of them are pretty smart where they, wherever you put your thumb down on that side of the screen, it'll start the kind of joystick there.
Yeah.
Which I think is a kind of neat. And that just shows like the evolution of design around those limitations.
Yeah, actually, a long time ago, back when XNA was still a thing, I actually was working on a little like sort of shooter Space Invader type of game on a Windows phone. And yeah, that was a consideration for me. And I finally decided like, okay, you know, I'm trying to move this little ship around on the screen, but you know, you can't just put it where the thumb is because obviously it's going to block your ship and you can't see when, if stuff's going to hit it or not. So It's like, just, I would just like offset it a little up from the thumb. That way, wherever on the screen you were pressing, the ship would just be right in front of that. So,
yeah.
So, just stuff you figure out along the way.
That reminds me of a story. The first time I saw that type of control in a mobile game, I was like, this game is so dumb. How are they going to make you...
Wait a minute, yeah. did you just call my game dumb?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Every time I have to move, I have to slide the finger. I don't understand. This is... Oh, that doesn't make any sense until I just left the finger moving to the left. And I saw the handle. And I was like, oh, man, the stupid is me. Oh, thanks.
Turned around.
Easier.
Yeah. those little limitations are neat, and that's what game design is. All it is just, it's condensed problem solving more than any other kind of development. And so having those new limitations, but also having a lot of other options, you know, now you have a gyroscope in there, you know, you have gyros that you can, or sound, you know, you can do voice commands. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to get creative with it and not just think about, I'm going to make this platformer in here. And that's kind of where, I guess, the Endless Runner, those ideas came from, these one-button games, right? I mean, I'm sure they're in Flash and stuff before, but they thrive on iOS and, you know, and Android and mobile stuff because it's just tapping it. Just tap, tap, tappity.
So that's like Temple Run or those type of things?
That's a genius. Yeah, but just, you know, Endless Runners are either whether the, like, the catapult, cannibalt kind or, like, the other... Those types of ones, or asteroids do concern me. That's what. But
we're plugging products. All right.
To be soon, but like just those types of, because it's like, yeah, don't worry about moving, don't worry about this stuff. You just worry about reacting and just having fun, doing a couple swipes or whatever it is. You know, we'll put it on rails for you.
So should we go to the next problem in mobile development?
Yeah, the next problem is one of those ones that it always gets better, but.
Yeah,
in the beginning it was really bad, and that's basically just memory, right?
Oh,
or just
yes.
Capabilities of the hardware, I guess.
The reduced memory that mobile devices have, and like you said, before it was even worse. But now with the iPhone 6 and then the Samsung Galaxy S6 now, it's a lot better. But that's always a concern. Because you will have performance issues in your game. So what they can do to solve these performance issues in the game? The first thing that I can think of is, if you're doing a 2D game, reduce the size of your sprites. You can have a texture that is 63x63. And Unity by default is going to make a sprite of 1024x1024. Just click in the texture, make it a sprite, and change the size of the sprite to whatever the texture says. If it's 63x63, make your sprite that size, and you will save space in your game.
Yeah, and that goes into just like the Atlas thing, right?
Yeah, and then, hey, might as well plug Texture Packer again. Yeah. It's pretty good at that, so I want royalties.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever explain. I mean, this is for people that are developers for a while know how this works, or maybe they don't, but the way those Atlas works, those Sprite Atlas works, is that, I guess it's like every time, so say you had 10 different, you know, 2D images of, like, here's my rocks, and here's my little Mario man, and here's his animations, and they're all just separate PNG files, and you're just trying to pull each of those in. Like Eduardo said, one, it's going to make a texture that's bigger than probably what that is, right? Because it's optimized like Power 2s or whatever. But what happens is those are draw calls. Those are 10 different draw calls to the graphics hardware. But what if you say, let me come using a program like Texture Packer, or even, you know, through Unity, you go, hey, get these 10 textures, combine them into just a big texture, and then save out all the data to show where they just need to cut out and mask whatever for that to pull that one image. That makes it one draw call. So you're saving a lot of graphic stuff. With UIs, you have to do that. So you don't have 800 UI elements. You have those in a bunch of big texture atlases.
Yeah, that's one big texture loaded into memory. And like you said, you just basically, you've got the metadata for the texture coordinates, and you know, it's a much faster operation, and you get some memory savings too from doing things like that.
Yeah, and more if you have transparency in your textures, you should do that, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to hit. That first game, this is like, I just mentioned the Asteroids game. I'm like, when I'm going to have to do so much optimization. When I did that on the Xbox 360, it's like, this is a 2D game on a 360? That thing is not optimized at all. I have as my parallaxing background for these galaxies are four separate, like, transparent, like, star fields that are HD. They're 1920. Like 1080.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my goodness. And they're actually duplicated and stuff. And so they're like doing, you know, different parallaxing at different speeds. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to fly.
Yeah. Look at all these resources. I can be a total asshole.
Yeah, you can do that all day long. And it's like, it didn't hitch at all. It's like, this is amazing. Yeah, because it can run Gears of War 3. That's why it works that well. So that's just a personal experience. I'll be going through that soon. Like, you have to. The stuff you can get away with on your computer, and that's a good lesson. The stuff that, like, while you're making your game on, like, just in the editor and running it, you're like, yeah, cool. That doesn't simulate the actual specs of hardware when you say run your game, you know, in the mobile resolution. That's just doing that resolution. It's still running from your super powerful gaming PC or whatever.
Uh-huh. And not even Unity Remote. If you actually want to measure the performance, do it in the actual device.
Right.
Uh-huh. So... Yeah, the idea for this is take all your different textures, put them in just one big texture, and separate them in the sprite editor and create the sprites that way. And adjust the size. So what if they're not doing a 2D game? What if they have a 3D game and they have houses and characters? What would you recommend them, guys?
Well, you definitely always with the 3D stuff on any platform, and especially mobile, you've got to worry about, like, you know, things of nature. But, you know, how many vertices do you have in your model? You know, what's your bone count that's actually, you know, when you're animating these models? I mean, you know, the phones are good, but they're still, like you guys are saying, they're not PC level. And also, you may be working on your, say, Windows box with your, you know, high-end graphics card and DirectX, but then the mobile device is probably going to end up being something like an OpenGL ES 2.0 or 3.0. You know, graphics functionality, and that's just not going to translate to the same performance. So definitely, you know, sort of try to, one thing I'd recommend, and I've seen done in the past, is to, you know, create some test beds to kind of get an idea of what your budgets are. Like, how many bones can you get away with the art style you want, or like the texture sizes or the model fidelity for, you know, polygons or whatever. That's definitely a good thing to know where you stand with that. Like, hey, we can have a maximum of 20 characters on screen at the same time. You know, in 3D, that is definitely something you need to know. So that way, all of a sudden, you know, you don't let a game designer spawn, like, you know, 50 of the things, and all of a sudden, the device is brought to its knees because it's trying to render, animate all these guys. So,
yeah, and I guess to piggyback off that, as far as, like, you know, creating that test bed and say, oh, I only want 20 characters in this scene at a time, then you talk about, like, occlusion culling and culling out, you know, models or geometry that you do not need in the scene, that the user doesn't have to see, or is in the scene but doesn't have to be it's not in the player's view, so you can call that out and not render those objects and models in the on the view of the what's on the mobile device at any particular time, because we're actually running into that problem at work. One of the guys is, you know, wrote a script that culls out a lot of the models in the, because it's going to be on mobile, I think. So he's culling out all the models that are in the scene, so it saves, you know, saves frames or increases frames and saves the memory that's being used at any point in time in the mobile device. So
does he just do it like a frustum culling type of thing?
Yeah, frustum culling. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. The number of polygons that you have in your models is fundamental. I remember when I was working in the VR application for the iPhone 4S, I had a house with several polygons in that house. It was like thousands and thousands of polygons. And the problem that I had is that when I was going to load that scene, the application just crashed and it took me out of the game. That's what you will experience. It's not like the application won't show you a pop-up window saying out of memory or anything like that, so you can identify the problem. It's just going to exit the game automatically because the cell phone can't handle that amount of memory. So what the designers did was to create another house with the similar to the other one, but low poly house, just with rectangles and more polygons in the just in the parts that needed to use more polygons, but like the walls and stuff like that, they were just cubes with different sizes, and that's a good way to reduce the polygons of your models. And after that, the application ran perfectly in an iPhone 4S, which is old.
Yeah, and you're totally right. It's like that type of stuff right there. It's like you just need to employ any trick in the book for rendering. It's almost like magic. Is, you know, it's like sort of like as long as it looks like the thing is real, like if people perceive it in the way you mean it to, then who cares how you're doing it? If it, you know, if it's a little sleight of hand, that's awesome because you can squeeze that performance out of it.
Yeah, that's all game development is. It's like showbiz.
It is.
No. Look over here while we're doing all this stuff. I mean, really, it is. It's not like some fully... That's what you realize when you start doing it.
Oh, yeah. You look for every shortcut and trick in the book so you can make it look good, but, you know, save that performance. One other thing I want to say real quick about, I guess, performance on mobile, too, is, how you design your shaders. I mean, you've got to know, which is, you know, another problem when you're talking about developing across multiple types of mobile devices. Like, again, I mentioned the OpenGL versioning before. It's like, you know, what kind of, you know, programmable pipeline do they support? Is it, you know, OpenGL ES2.0 or 3.0? What can I get away with these shaders, you know? Sometimes, you know, on one device it may look fine, another device may just render it totally black, and you're like, well, that shiny new effect I created doesn't even work on this popular device, so.
Yeah, we have that problem a lot of the time. Stuff not actually rendering in the devices, or...
Right.
Or you don't know. I mean, this is sort of mobile related, but you have problems like with different libraries that render stuff, like Scaleform or other things not working under different video cards, different, you know, settings of different versions of OpenGL, so it's like there that can be a rat's nest sometimes, because the graphic stuff is very sensitive to what type of devices
and absolutely
everything is.
It's like it's been that way all through history on any sort of platform. It's always the most sensitive thing, it seems.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, going into that too, is like the moving into like kind of resolution issues, because the performance of all those things and of what we expected out of these 2D applications was one thing when these devices were like actual standard res, but now that they're all retina res, they're double like density resolution.
Oh yeah,
you're like, oh no, this is now we just made the resolution better than your PC screen, you know, and then your TV and stuff. You're like, oh crap.
No, like, I have a MacBook. Mine is
you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, really? Thanks for us, we have the new Unity UI system.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot easier. Because
but it's like...
Go ahead.
It's like, that's like almost the same kind of thing with VR. People are like, oh, we finally got our game working. It's like, now we're going to work in VR, which is doubling what you need to make it run as.
right.
It's like, we were just getting there.
Good job, buddy. Now here's the next hurdle. Yeah.
And that's it. And the, just to hit upon that real quick, you know, Mino's going to get mad if I talk about this.
No, go ahead.
Time.
Shed a tear.
we kind of went extensively into this, though, in the UI stuff, in the UI episode. You should check it out. It's our second episode.
Yeah.
But just the thing to think about on mobile devices is that, and it's less of a problem now because they're all getting closer to 16:9 ratio. Because now all the iPhones are that you probably can support. I mean, 4 and 4Ss are probably you don't need to. Who cares? I mean, they're getting to a point, especially now next week once they're doing the next new phone. You know, you can't even run operating systems in Apple, you know, an old one. So they deprecate those out pretty harshly. But most Android phones and all the Android tablets are 16:9.2. The only thing that's different now is actually the iPad still, because it's still like 4:3, like old school TV. So there's things to think about. In that, and meaning like, so if your game's laid out certain ways and you have, you know, pixel perfect to have on certain devices and certain layouts, it'll change, you know, per thing, and it'll change per resolution change from like a crappier device that has more towards standard def to a super high end Note 5, right? That's like almost like 4K, I think, in resolution. Yeah.
Really? So, damn. Yeah,
it's close. I mean, the other one was like 2K, right? I think 4 was like, I don't know. It's pretty high. It's up there. So, That's nuts. And that's a hard battle to... I mean, when we talked about some specific strategies in that UI episode, and it basically boils down to you just have to make separate versions of those atlases. You know, the separate versions of... You have to figure out, like, make a strategy to what resolutions you're going to support, and then divide up and say, we're going to do the highest one, this one, and this one, you know, and then figure out from there. And I think I related the story of... what's the name of it? Half Brick Studios, the people that do Fruit Ninja?
Uh-huh. Half Brick? They did Jetpack Joyride,
yeah,
too?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. For Jetpack Joyride, like, specifically, I actually watched... I think it was a GDC for, like, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever they had that game come out, and it was the next GDC after that, and they talked about how they work around some of the mobile things, and they had the coolest solution, I think, in the world. And maybe... I don't know. I haven't looked into them. Maybe they open source this. Maybe you can convince them to give it to us. But they do a cool thing when the game loads up the first time. They have full res assets. So, like, whatever highest device they, you know, the Note 5, you know, 4K assets. And then those are loaded into the install. So the install is a little bit bigger than normally. But when you install it into your device for the first time, that's the only place it's ever going to install. I mean, if you install another device, it's pulling that from another app, the app store again. So when it installs on the device, it actually detects what the resolution is and has a graphics library in there, goes through all the assets and downsizes them to the exact resolution. Like, and then it throws
that's
away
clever,
the HD
yeah.
versions. I was like, that's uh-huh. awesome. Yeah. So then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about switching atlases and all that stuff. Yeah,
it adapts to its environment, which is kind of nice. Instead of keeping all of these, like, oh, we're gonna ship every resolution down and then pick one. Yeah. It's like, no, just hey, we'll downsample it. And, you know, like you said, install time will go up, but at the same time, if performance is optimized for that device, that's a win. You know, hopefully they let people know that. It's like, hey, wait on the install.
Yeah. Oh, and the first run actually, yeah, it takes a while because, like, as it's like booting up the first time, it has to do that. So, but I don't remember it taking a long time when I first installed that game. So
I don't either. I don't remember it being like, oh god, this is taking forever. Delete. You know.
Yeah.
But I still have it.
And so that's the, you know, that's the high end of solutions for that problem. Lower end towards our end, probably more feasible, is to make separate atlases and stuff like Texture Packer and those things. So looking at that, listen to our episode, and we'll hopefully have some tutorials in the future about specifically about that. But yeah, multi-resolution's a bitch.
Yeah, and that's more so on Android than iOS, because like you said, most devices, the same aspect ratios are kind of generally there, but you know, I don't know, the Android hardware ecosystem is definitely much more diverse than the iPhone.
But honestly, no, I mean, even that, yeah, it's not as, you know, fragmented, but I mean, how we have a freaking 5C or whatever they're still selling, and then, but then the 6 and the 6 Plus all have just three different resolutions in a phone. Those have different pixel resolutions, so it's like, ah, are you serious?
Like, yeah, but I mean, that's still three versus if you went into Android,
yeah,
it's like
absolutely
300
yeah.
or something. Right. You know, I'm making up numbers here, but you know.
Right. You just can't be perfect all the time. That's why it bothers OCD people like me.
That, so. Yeah, sometimes you just have to target an audience and make it good for them. And
one problem we've actually found, actually, that's Unity specific, is actual movie textures. The built-in movie texture in Unity has a problem with mobile.
Yeah,
it is. As not, I say, it doesn't work. That's the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's not supported in iOS nor Android. So you have to have that in mind if you want to integrate videos in your mobile applications.
Yeah, Zach actually talked about, you know, his solution to that problem in our last episode with the Asset Store, or Asset Store. One of his top picks for Asset Store was, which is the AVI player. Made by Shoe Games, and he used that to, you know, I guess playback videos, and he could even scrub through those videos and videos, was it MPEG files or MFPEG files, and load those into his mobile app, you know, and he had like two or three going at the same time, so it was pretty efficient that particular asset from the Asset Store.
Yeah, what do you think? That's right, his favorite asset from the Asset Store, because he's had this problem for like 2 weeks.
It's made his life easy.
So he loved it. Mm-hmm.
And that just speaks to, but that specific problem speaks to higher ideas that a lot of built-in Unity things don't work out of the box on mobile devices. You just take that for granted, because that's happened on every project that has been mobile, and we just took it. It's like, oh yeah, that'll work. We're like, oh,
exactly.
No, it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just, ew. Yeah, you got to look forward into that. Mm-hmm. And so finally, to wrap this up, you know, we're just, it sounds like we're just like saying how crappy it is to do mobile games.
it's, we call it difficult. It's a challenge.
It's challenging. It's challenging. Yeah. It's like
one of the biggest things that will come bite you, but at the end of the process is the release process in some of these platforms, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in Android, it's much easier, but iOS is kind of a pain if you're not used to it, or even if you are used to it, they change it every day. So,
and setting up your environment, dev environment for Android is actually, or can be, you know, seen as a little complicated because you need to download the SDK. You have to make sure you need to plug that. Well, I mean, there's a lot of tutorials, a lot of videos out there that really go through the process and make it easy. I mean, it's only like 3 or 4 steps, but you know, if you miss a step, it could be frustrating getting your dev environment set up. And like, you know, I think Xcode is almost the same way, where you have to go to Xcode and download. There's something, I think there's like a package you have to download, or I don't know, but you just have to have Xcode for iOS installed, and then and for libraries that you may include in your iOS application, there's a lot of, you know, DLLs and mapping of
all the services that you want to include. And,
go ahead.
All the services that you want to include in your game, like in-app purchases or the game center, you have to set up all that in the build of your project.
Yeah. And there's a lot that goes into the mobile release process, even like the build numbers and making sure, you know, how that workflow goes, you know, setting up a good workflow for, you know, building and releasing your iOS and Android applications is really important. And updates, you know, because updates are actually a key consideration I actually wanted to mention about the updates. You know, a lot of, when I was like telling you guys about my friend that wants to make this mobile app, He came to me. He was like, you know, I've got this 80-page design document that I want to, you know, get your feedback on. And I was like, oh my god, 80 pages. You know, why? You know, it's so huge for. I mean, it's not huge, but you know, the way he was, you know, spinning it is like he was trying to pack his whole, you know, his whole idea of a game into this one release. And I was like,
about every game ever,
exactly. And I was like, you know, that's like one of the key considerations when you're thinking about mobile is, you know, don't bite off more than you can chew and plan to iterate on your app. You know, there's going to be iterations, there's going to be updates. Plan for that. You know, you don't have to build everything and then just stuff it and, you know, okay, I'm just going to release this once, you know, because A, you know, there's going to be bugs, and B, that you probably want to do updates and cater more
content
to your users. So definitely plan and iterate on your app as you do it. I don't know how I got into that segue or that rant, but
it makes sense. I mean, because, you know, it's like you need to plan ahead for that, because I mean there's certain considerations for actually updates and patching. Like, you know, it's what is it over the wire, over cellular for Apple now? Is it 60 meg, 100 meg? I forget.
It used to be 50.
Oh, that's true. And I know.
Yeah, I mean, because there are limitations to like some of these patches. Well, what they'll let you do over your cellular data network.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, so you've got to worry about that. Like, you know, a lot of times Hearthstone, a game I really like, you know, it's just got large updates sometimes. And if I'm not on Wi-Fi, you know, it's. I think it is 100 meg now that I remember. It's like, oh, this is over 100 megs. You need to get on a Wi-Fi network to do that. So
that's true.
You know, like you said, there's a lot of planning ahead for that.
Yeah, that brought to mind, again, when I was releasing something on Android, the Play Store, you know, the max upload that you could do onto their store was a 30 megabyte upload. And then after that point, you have to break it up into, what is that called? Something binary. Was it OBB? Is that OBB or something? I can't remember.
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I got
you have to split your game into like OBB files.
This is the expertise they come to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
If and
what's
then,
an
but.
OB?
Yeah, but I'm glad that you brought that up, because the updates is a really good way to keep your audience engaged.
Yeah.
Just let's think about it. People update their games just because the season changed. If during Christmas, many games change their icon to a red icon or showing
right.
a Christmas tree or something like that.
Or reindeer. Yeah.
Because iOS has a section for that in their feature page. So that's something that they want to do.
Yeah, they even have like latest updates and stuff. Yeah, they'll promote games that have had a nice update recently and stuff.
And Apple is picky, but don't look at it as something bad. That's something good, because that will increase the quality of your game. Let's put it this way. You release your game first for Android, without too much quality, and then you try to release it for iOS.
Oh,
and
man.
You figure
don't
out
do Android like that.
And you have to figure out that, and they tell you that you have to change the size of the buttons or things like that. You have a problem with the UI. You fix it, and you release it to iOS. But all the people that saw your game in Android first with all those errors will think that your game is not that good because it has those, I don't know, let's call it those dumb mistakes that you wouldn't done if you had released for iOS first.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the process, people give crap to the iOS, and even I do some of the whole, I mean, some of that stuff
approval
is still
process.
A little, yeah, approval process, but some of that stuff is still a little shady or like whatever, I mean, because it's their opinion sometimes, but sometimes they actually really do, like you're calling out these network calls that you shouldn't be doing, so reject it, and you're like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't be doing that, you know.
If you're using the controller, we don't know the idea of rejected.
So sometimes, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, but I mean, in a way, like, I'm to take the positive side of that, and maybe it helps you kind of really analyze your build and say, hey, because, I mean, like, that's like, I mean, being indie developers, we don't, unless you're developing for a console, we don't have to go through, it's basically going through cert, right? Like certification process, and that's what you have to do, which is a very intensive process for console developers, right?
That's so, true, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it helps to really hammer, and that's just as frustrating, where it's like, well, on the main screen, the logo needs to be taking 45% of the screen up, and then, like, it's stuff like that, and you're like, ugh. And if you were, if you were playing your game, and there was a Rock Band controller in the third port, and if you did, while you were jumping, you unplugged the controller, did a wicked solo on the Rock Band controller. Like, what would happen to the game? I was like, I don't know what would happen to the game. Yeah. So there's just all these
unknown.
Weird. They have like a list of use cases, and sometimes that's a pain, but also sometimes that can overall sometimes that can help, you know, hammer out bugs.
You know what? And that is the trade-off between the two environments and the two systems. I mean, like to go back to what we were saying earlier. Like, so you know. As far from my experience in iOS, like just getting it set up to deploy to device can, with the certifications and all that stuff, can be a pain in the butt. Now, once you've got all the backends, like legal okays to deploy to their device, it's pretty simple. It just psh, boop, goes.
Yeah.
But you know, with the Android stuff, I've recently found it's like, okay, you don't need all that certification nonsense. But where you're paying is, it's like it's kind of like a PC and. You know, it's more Wild West. You're like, oh, well, did you actually install the drivers for this Samsung device? Or
right.
Is it an actual Nexus, you know, Google device that can just accept, you know, the APK from Unity? It's, you know, there's a little more twiddling with the actual software. It's, you know, it's more like sort of PC development. Hey, I don't know what we're deploying to yet. We need to find the device and talk to it and, you know, buy it a drink and then see if we can actually deploy to it, you know. So, but I mean, so it's basically you're spending time in different areas, but you're going to spend about as much time on either platform. It's just where you're spending it.
Yeah. And hopefully, in that's another thing. We talked about bigger tutorials that we're working on. We've kind of shifted that to kind of be mobile focused. So all this stuff will be applicable to that, and we'll probably have on our YouTube what we started tips and other places, like start having a. And it's kind of might have to be on YouTube because that's such a like a living process, like an iOS especially. Like, this is how you do it today, this month.
Yeah.
You
know,
oh, yeah.
And now January 2016, this is how this process has changed, you know,
exactly.
Release the mobile. So hopefully we'll have a little more because that stuff is, you know, you can't get into it on this format because it's boring. You guys will be asleep. But we'll do some cool videos about that in the future. That'll help.
Because it's very helpful when you need it. But,
right,
you know.
Right. Cool, guys. Hope we didn't scare everybody away from mobile games.
Is that what we're doing recently? We just, like, you know, talk about all the scare tactics, or it's not scare tactics, but we just talk about all the problems and scare the hell out of people.
Well, like, yeah. I think people are already excited enough. Like, we're excited to do mobile games.
Yeah, I mean,
love mobile games.
It's such a huge market.
I mean,
it's hard to not
Absolutely,
be excited
yeah.
about.
And
this,
we're not trying to deter anybody.
It.
We're just like, these are the war stories we've learned over the
it's
time.
True.
Just problems
it's true.
We've run into. Mm-hmm. And this will make your life so much easier. Just start thinking about these issues ahead of time.
Yeah.
And not when you're, I need to go out the App Store now. And then you'll go, no, it's all broken.
Yeah. No, so. don't worry. You don't have to be too hurry about anything because mobile came and is going to stay in the market a long time. So, going to the last section of the episode. we promise a hint that can help you success your game, to make your game successful, and here it is. Use the Facebook SDK.
Sorry, you should have waited a little bit longer.
Oh, man, come on.
Oh, man, we have to have the music.
Fanfare.
Okay, music. Again, music.
Cue music here, Andrew. Like, can you do this? There'll be a swell. John Williams will come in.
Timpani drums.
Yeah, the hint is use the Facebook SDK. Please use it. And Facebook is not paying us for this, but that's a really good recommendation. Just think about this. What's one of the dreams of a game developer?
Going viral.
His game going viral. And how you do that? Go use the social networks. What's the biggest social? Yeah. What's the highest social network? Facebook. And there's a Facebook SDK in the asset store, and it's free. Use it. Include social network in your game. People love to be connected with their friends, and if you can keep that connection in your game and generate competition between them, that's going to generate a lot of engagement in your game, and they can invite their friends. Like Ovina said at the beginning, there's a leaderboard, and they can send post messages in their profile. There are a bunch of things that they can do with the Facebook SDK. So use it, and you will have more probabilities that your game goes viral.
Yes.
So you're saying my GeoCities website is not
enough? Oh, GeoCities.
Oh, man. No, he makes a very good point. He's on point with that.
And there's also different ways to do that. Yeah. There's also different ways to reach out to social in a game. It could be a leaderboard, you know. Mm-hmm. It could just be like a recommendation for your game in there. Or also, it could just be reaching out. I know that one mobile game, what was that Sword and Sorcery game that came out a few years ago? They had a weird thing. It wasn't Facebook, but it was Twitter. But because that was like an RPG single player game, there's no interaction multiplayer in it. But you would they would have weird lines when you talk to different NPCs in the game, and you'd have the option to tweet it out to just friends, what is this he's saying, Mm-hmm. So if you can't do leaderboards, or your game's not set up that way, there's always sometimes ways you could share it in a fun way just to reach out, because that's what the viral part of it is. It's you need to have some way to share content, whether that's through scores or in challenges, or whether that's through just sharing some kind of fun aspect of the game.
And that way you don't have to spend too much time in marketing, because the game is doing it for you.
And honestly, that's the best type of marketing. It's better than anything you could spend ads on. The actual, just a growth, just word of mouth thing. So, cool.
Right on.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we leave tonight.
Oh, my God.
We can't leave without that special time. There
he goes.
He's going to do it.
Clear your throat. Come on.
I can't do it. Why do
you want me to
do it?
Do it? You want me to do this?
Yes.
Okay, baby. Hold on. I'll feed you baby birds.
There we go.
There you go.
Cool, my babies. What's tonight's game of the week, guys?
Hitman Go.
Nice unison.
You guys have played a lot of Hitman Go, right?
Yeah, man. But,
okay, we're soulmates. You don't understand. Hitman Go. It's a very fun take on the Hitman franchise. They've essentially converted it into sort of a mobile board game.
Yeah.
And by which I mean, they set up scenarios where you're trying to escape the level, and you have multiple levels of accomplishment when doing this. So you can either just escape the level, say that's like the equivalent of 1 star. You can escape the level with the intelligence, that's 2 stars. You can escape the level with the intelligence and eliminate all enemies on it, that's 3 stars. Mm-hmm. Essentially what it is the Hitman is like a little sort of like a Monopoly piece, and you move him from node to node, moving through the level to try to acquire the intelligence or kill the enemies. And the enemies are set up in nodes, and if they're faced away from you, you can move into their node and take them, kill them essentially, and then move on to the next node and try to get the rest of the enemies. So it's a very cool sort of almost like FPS prototype for on a mobile device for the Hitman series, and it's a very thoughtful, very much a puzzle game, because, you know, later on it gets a little more complex, where you've got to say, like, throw rocks to distract people to make them look away from you, because, you know, and when you throw the rock, it's into this certain node, and everybody within three nodes from there has to look at that node, and then you can move in and behind them and eliminate them all. So it's definitely a very fun game and a very unique take on, you know, again, like I said, an FPS that was just purely, that had a lot of solutions in and of itself, you know, yeah, on the PC.
It's a nice, like, well, I guess if we put it, summed it up in a whole sentence, it's like a turn-based puzzle game. So, and it's really cool. The puzzles, right. Like, and the environments are amazing. You know, I guess you wouldn't consider it, or, you know, a puzzle game to have, like, amazing environments. But it's like the environments, you know, they have, like, multi-level environments that you can go through that are just beautiful to look at and experience. So
they've got a great art style, I thought. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's why Square Enix, just, I don't think we mentioned that.
It's weird.
And it's free, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
well, no.
It's a dollar, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is a dollar.
Right now it's
that's
a dollar.
True. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, because now they just have the Lara Croft.
I just played it for free.
They had basically the same type of thing, which I think is in Unity, too. Of a, like a Tomb Raider game that's
they had a Lara Croft.
Which looks really cool too, some of the art stuff. So that might be a future game of the week.
For
a buck, it's a really fun game. I'm one who, like, I'm kind of picky on my mobile games. Let's say, like, you know, turn up my nose at everything, that type of thing. But I mean, it's a very quality game and a very interesting take on the Hitman series, I thought. So
yep, cool. All right, we'll check it out.
Right.
I think that's it, guys.
That is good.
No.
I think that's it. That's
Well, actually, well, let me just so you guys aren't thinking I was going to forget, but, you know, I just want to make sure you guys, let you guys know that we are thankful for all the wonderful reviews that have written us on iTunes. I just want to keep that going because it's helping out a lot, and, you know, helping us with that reach. So, yes, keep writing those reviews. Keep them coming. We love them, and we love you guys.
Yeah, it makes our day. Outside of it, whatever, helping the podcast.
Outside of love.
Yeah. Well, outside of the stuff going on, but whenever we see, like, when somebody writes a review, I'm like, oh, that was really fun. I got a lot out of it. That's why we do this stuff. We're doing this whole stuff to make community. So anytime people put a review there, or they talk to us in our Facebook group about stuff, it's awesome.
Oh, and emails are good, too. We love the emails. Yeah. Keep them coming.
And so, so you can find out a lot of information, all the stuff we're doing. We have another tips and scripts videos out now. We have a bunch of them out now, probably. And you can go to our website, thedebuglog.com, where you can find most all that stuff. If you go there and you sign up for our newsletter, The Loop, that comes out once a month, you'll get access to our Facebook group, our private Facebook group, exclusive Facebook group.
Elite, even.
And the Debug Lounge, what that is called. We have a lot of names for things. And there you'll find a lot of just fun interaction. We have a bunch of developers and trying to get all the guests we have on the show, you know, get involved with that group too. So it's just a kind of place to share stuff. We have, like, Throwback Thursdays and, you know, what you're working on Wednesdays or whatever we're going to call it. But we're trying to come up with fun names for days and have just stuff where everybody's sharing and constantly sharing what you're working on. Because as you know, being game developers, you just kind of sometimes you're like, I need to just take a break and talk to people about this problem. So come hang out there. It's very cool. If you want to email us any of those questions, it's just thedebuglog@gmail.com. I think that's it.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, we got a bunch of around the Twitters and the Facebooks and all those things. Just check it. It's all there.
Oh, Twitter's such a fad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's fad.
Who says that? Zach?
Yeah, Zach.
I'm going to do this because of Zach. If you want to reach me on Twitter, I'm @Andrew_Curry. That's CURRIE. Guys, go ahead.
And I'm @OBeans. That's O with a H, Beans with a Z.
Yeah. Is it plus ha-ha or is it like...
No, just OBeans. Just OBeans.
Yeah, mine is @EduardoCF1989.
And I am trying to remember who I am. I am @REKilgore.
Yeah, this is the easiest to remember, probably.
Yeah, this is good.
REKILLGORE.
All right, well, until next time, my name's Andrew.
I'm Obina.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Eduardo.
And we'll see you next time.
Cheers. Cheers.
Adios.
Take care.
Yeah. Sayonara.
What was it? Peace be with you.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
I'm out here.
run around San Mateo, going to San Francisco, whatever you want to do. So
cool. Yes, I did it earlier in the day so we could have some quality time.
Hell yeah. Get a little packed lunch. We'll go up to the bay.
Picnic. Hiking.
Some light petting later, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Whoa, don't get ahead of yourself.
Absolutely, I know.
Right? Yeah. 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 Well, if you want this job.
You gotta get a bottle of wine with the lunch.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be wine. Don't worry.